Hallelujah. Let's stand and praise God right now. Come on, is that your story? God's been good to me. God's been merciful to me. God's helped me. Hallelujah. God picked me up out of a miry clay. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, what a beautiful day to be in the house of the Lord and to feel His presence. And amen. See so many wonderful people in God's house. Amen. Our prayers are for all those that are sick today, and some are traveling and working, and then the victims of the daylight savings time. A prayer for them. Amen. I don't have a problem with daylight savings, but I think they should do it Sunday night into Monday. Let it affect work instead of church. Amen. So try to call Trump and let him know that and get it changed. So anyway, amen. Thank the Lord for a beautiful house to worship God in. Amen. God's blessed us so much. Amen. It's good to see the Moons in church. God bless Jack and Emily Moon. Amen. Good to have Miguel here with the Salinas family. God bless him. And always good to have Carrie here. God bless her and everybody else. Amen. Praise God. Brother Aaron Robertson is in Brazil right now in the Amazon jungle preaching, so pray for him. Amen, that God will help protect him, different ones out and about. But thankful that Jesus is here in such a special way. Amen. And I want to preach what God has laid up on my heart. Amen. I did not know that the theme for the Sunday school and the praise and worship would be the Word of God. So I'm just going to continue along with the theme, I guess. I didn't know. Amen. But God knows exactly what He's doing. This is something that I had prepared to preach in November. And it was I did not even remember what happened, but the Lord began to deal with me about this yesterday. So I had to text Brother Daniel and say, did I preach that? And he said, no, you were going to, and they shouted. So I thought, well, you can't shout out the word. It'll come back around and get you. Hallelujah. Praise God. The word is good. It's all good. The parts that make you happy is sure enough good, and the parts that, amen, kind of ruffle your feathers and stomp on your toes, it's still good. Is this what gets you ready for heaven? Amen. Praise God. Psalms 119 and 89. Just going to read one scripture, and then I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures later on during the Bible study today. But for now, the 89th verse says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. Everybody say, it's settled. It's settled in heaven. Praise God. And I would simply want to preach from this title, Forever Settled. Amen. Set your Bibles down. If you would lift your hands and your voices to the Lord. Come on, all across this house, I need God to come on, open up our ears and our understanding today. God, allow your anointing to tear down strongholds and break the yokes, God. Break chains today, God. Encourage people in this house. Strengthen people in this house, God. Come on, can you join with somebody if it's appropriate? Come on, let's pray together. God, we need your word more than we've ever needed it. We need direction more than we've ever needed it, God. God, I trust your word. I believe your word. It's never let me down. It's never failed me. It's never led me the wrong way. Oh, God, let me learn of you one more time. Open up my understanding, God. Hallelujah. Come on, as a way of worship, why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? Thank you, Lord. Thank Lord, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I simply want to preach forever. Everybody say forever. Forever settled. Amen. The word of God is forever settled, meaning that it is secured. Amen. Meaning that it is unchangeable. It is in a fixed position. So if you open up the Word of God and you read it and understand what God is trying to say to you, what makes this so beautiful is that next week it'll be the same Word of God. Next month it'll still mean the same thing. And next year it'll still mean the same thing. Amen. It's in a fixed position. And I began to think that there's many things in the Word of God that bring me comfort. Amen. Did you know that the Word of God is comforting to a soul? Hallelujah. Isaiah 43 in verse 1, they're going to put some scriptures up, and I want to just go through this little Bible study with you. I hope you'll hang with me for a little while. This is something that comforts my spirit when I read things like this. It said, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee." Everybody say, "He created me." "Created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." He said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." Praise God. Don't it feel good to be redeemed? Could you think about that for a little while? You've been bought. And if you've been bought, you're not your own. You belong to him. My Bible said whatever he starts, he's going to finish. Meaning he ain't going to just go halfway and then give up on you, let go of you. Amen. He said, "For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name." He said, "Thou art mine." Amen. Then it gets even better. And he said, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee." Why? Because you're his. And you've been redeemed and you've been bought by the blood of the Lamb. He said, hallelujah. He said, and the rivers will not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Praise God. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Let me tell you something. If it is written, amen, don't let anybody take it away from you. Come on, I'm going to try to get you and the Word of God connected up today, where nobody can separate or drive a wedge between you and what God has planned for your life. Hallelujah. And so if the Word says it, circumstances should not take that comfort away from you. That is a very comforting scripture. Amen. And if you're walking through the river, my Lord, I feel like I'm preaching what my son just preached. Amen. What you see and what's upon you shouldn't take your comfort away from you, because God said, "My word is forever settled in heaven." Meaning that a river can't change the word of God. Meaning that a fiery furnace cannot change the word of God. A trial cannot change the word of God. It is, everybody say, settled. Amen. So if the word of God comforts you, don't let the trial take your comfort away from you. Don't let a gossiping clown take the comfort away from you. Don't let a pew warmer take the comfort away from you. Don't let an old doubter take the comfort away from you. God said, "You're his. You're bought. You're redeemed." Amen. Thank God for his word. Amen. There are things that comfort me about the word of God. And then there are things that make me nervous about the word of God. Let me preach a little while. There are scriptures that push me. Well, hallelujah. Amen. Ephesians 5 and 27. It says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. That gives me a little bit of anxiety because I know who I am. I know I have the ability to totally flop on my face. Amen. But just like I don't want anybody to take the comfort away from me, I don't want anybody to preach the nervous out of me because the Word of God, whether you like it, whether you comply with it, whether you understand it, whether you know it, it's settled in heaven. You know what you ought to say? Whatever the Word is meant to accomplish, let it accomplish it in my life. Amen. If I need to be comforted, let the Word comfort me. If I need to be pushed, let the Word push me. Why? Because it's already settled. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord together. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Just like you don't need a friend that always drags you down when you're operating in faith and you're speaking in faith. Amen. God's going to help me. You don't need friends to pull you down. Amen. But just like you don't need friends to pull you down, you don't need ministry to cover up, amen, what you need to do to make it to heaven. Come on, you ought to love that just as much. Hey, you ought to say, preacher, preach to me. Preacher, preach to me. Whatever it takes, I must be saved. Let the Word of God push me, pull me, comfort me, lift me, pull me down if it must a little bit. Step on my toes, but let the Word help me. Come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I want it in my mind. Amen. I want to be aware of what I need to do. Amen. And the reason is because it's already settled. Well, I'm going to find me a preacher that don't get in all those scriptures and change all that stuff and preach all that stuff I don't like. No, what you need is somebody that does preach what you don't like. Hallelujah. Amen. This is my love language, has always been truth. Praise God. Amen. Well, I don't really want to say it like it is. No, you got to say it like it is. There's a way to say everything in love. Praise God. The children grow up and they don't ever learn the right way. They're going to be lost. If they don't learn how to respect adults, they're going to end up in prison. Amen. There's just things they got to learn that they may not like. But it's already settled. Amen. And it's the law that we're going to be judged by. If you're going to stand before God and they're going to open the books, wouldn't you want to know what the book says? Wouldn't it be terrible to get there and say, well, my preacher never preached that to me. Oh, not at Calvary Pentecostal Church. Amen. Our focus is not going to be on creating a program. Our focus is going to be on making sure you know exactly what thus saith the Word of God. So when you get to stand before God, you can smile and you can be ready for that gate to swing open wide because you know what it says. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. It's so much easier to live for God when you understand nothing's going to change. Amen. Help me, Jesus, right now. Amen. I feel sorry for children that grow up in dysfunctional families where, amen, something's wrong this week and then it's okay next week. And then it's wrong the next week. Amen. You know what I love about the Word of God? It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. You don't have to go to sleep worrying about, is something going to change? We're going to walk in the church next Sunday. They're going to be preaching a new doctrine. No, there ain't going to be a new doctrine preaching this church. Amen. We're just going to get in the Word. We're going to stay in the Word. We're going to live the Word, breathe the Word, eat the Word. Amen. The Word is going to help us. Amen. What? People say, why are you such a whatever, a stickler about, amen, about the Word? Because it's settled. If it's forever settled, why would we be trying to push up against it? Why would you be hoping something changes? Well, I wish he'd back up a little bit on that, whatever. No, we can't back up. Hallelujah. If you're looking for a new message, you're at the wrong church. Amen. It's going to be the same message. Whatever this book says, we're going to do our absolute best to live up to it. God, give me strength. Give me help. But God, whatever you do, don't let me be lost. Let me tell you, you can stand for something that don't change. Amen. What a country we live in, my Lord. It's the greatest country in the world, but these poor businesses, they don't know whether to move to China or move to Arkansas. They one person gets voted in, it's best to do that. The next one comes, and it'd be better for you to do that. I'm thinking, my Lord, I'm glad I don't own John Deere, even though I wouldn't mind owning it, maybe. Amen. But I thought, you know, they're living in a system. They're trying to exist in a system that changes every week. Well, let me get my pen out. I'm going to make an order, and everything's going to flip upside down. Boy, I love God's Word. Hallelujah. Praise God. We were begotten by the Word of God. You weren't begotten by beautiful singing. Thank God for beautiful singing and beautiful music that they play and amen, but that you weren't begotten by that unless they were singing a song that was the Word of God. Amen. Praise God. I still like those. Hallelujah. The ones that say, order my steps in your Word. You know what that is? That's the Word. Amen. I like singing scriptures. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can raise your family in something that stays the same. Praise God. You don't have to meet them every week and say, hang on. Now, sit down. Let's talk about, I know last week that, you know, we did that, but we can't do it no more. And then the next week, well, you know what? I don't think it's really going to hurt anything. I'm preaching to parents right now. I hope you understand what I'm preaching. Hey, man, we need to get as consistent as the Word of God is. Did you know, children, just like you find comfort in the consistency of the Word of God, they find comfort in the consistency of your... Well... Praise God. Y'all should have shouted. Now I'm going to preach a while. Amen. Can you imagine? And Tommy, you know, there's no Tommies here. And Tommy is screaming at you, and you just ignore it on Monday. And Tuesday, you beat him. And then Wednesday, you're raising something that's inconsistent. Amen, but I don't care if it's Monday or Tuesday. If Tommy disrespects his parents, I don't care if you're on the favorite chapter of your Louis Lamar book. You need to set the book down Hey, I got business to take. I'm trying to raise a child that's going to know the difference between right. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, mamas and daddies. Amen. You want the word of God. You want it consistent. You don't want God changing on you every day. Praise God. Maybe I need to just move on. Hallelujah. God, help us to be to the next generation what you've been to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me preach a while. Because the word is forever settled. Let me tell you, if something was morally wrong in the Bible days, it's still wrong right now. You cannot vote what is right and what is wrong. It always amuses me that denominations get together and they have a convention and they all start voting. This is what our creed is going to be. This is what our articles of faith are going to be. Amen. And whatever we vote is what's going to be right. And I'm thinking, you missed the title. You missed the book of Psalms that said it don't matter what you think's right or wrong. The word of God is forever settled in heaven. Amen. You can vote all day long if you want. If it makes you feel good, go ahead and vote. Well, I believe that's right now. Amen. Praise God. Amen. But it does not matter because the word, I've said it already 100 times, it's already settled in heaven. And so if God said something was not right, praise God, one person get it right. It's still not right. Amen. If an organization votes something in that goes against the word of God, I don't care if their title says Pentecostal. I don't care if their title says Catholic. That means Catholic. Or it says the Southern Baptist Convention. I don't care about your conventions. What I care about, what saith the word of God. And if the word of God is plain and it's clear, it's never gonna change. Amen. Put up Psalms 101 and 2. This was David. He said, I will. Is that the right? Yeah. Go. I don't have that part. I got the second part of it, I guess. Yeah, that's what I got. No, go back to 2. I guess I missed out the first part of it. He said, I will walk within. A lot of people think, well, in my house. I can do whatever I want in my house. Well, praise the Lord. This is what David said. I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Go to the next verse. He said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them. He didn't say I hate them. We don't hate people. He said, I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. What he's saying is, what they're doing ain't gonna stick to me. What they vote in, I ain't voting in. I'm gonna tell you, 3,000 years ago, David said, I'm not gonna set any wicked thing before mine eyes. And do you think 3,000 years later, we have become so spiritual that we can handle wicked things before us? Because we're so smart and we're so righteous and we're so holy that we can change a little bit. Amen. This is what his son would say in Proverbs 6:27. can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Come on. Can one go up on hot coals and his feet not be burned? Amen. We would be fooling ourselves to think, amen, that what this Bible laid out thousands of years ago, that we have become so spiritual that we don't have to obey what it says anymore. Getting kind of quiet. Amen. Does anybody just want to play it on the safe side? Does anybody want to get on the safe side and say, I better not go past what that book says, lest I fall? Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you're going to help me for a little bit. Amen. I'm preaching, but I need your help. Amen. I Googled yesterday just for giggles. Amen. Just this old subject people, amen, get hung up about. So I just Googled television and Pentecost. I want to see what artificial intelligence has to say about it. Amen. Just for giggles. And so it said, this is what it said. It said, the Pentecostal belief on television has evolved. It said it has changed since 1954 when the organization was born. I thought, what an embarrassment. God said, my word is forever settled. But Google said Pentecost has changed. I hope they're listening and learning right now. Let me get my phone close to me. They say your phone listens to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Some Pentecost may have changed. Some Pentecost may have evolved. But they haven't all evolved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not interested in evolution. Never have been. Amen. But first of all, not setting a wicked thing before your eyes is not a Pentecostal teaching. It's a biblical principle. Every church ought to be preaching, I will not set any wicked thing before mine eyes. It's not Pentecostal. It's biblical. It's not apostolic. It's Bible. We didn't come up with this. God came up with this. Amen. And so I'm going to preach a while. I hope you hang with me and learn something before we're done. Amen. This not setting wicked things before your eyes is a principle. Everybody say it's a principle. So it don't stop with an LED screen hooked up to cable or an LCD screen hooked up to a cable somewhere. That's the principle doesn't end there. If it was, I'd preach against LCD screens. But you can't because you got another one right here. And then you got magazines. Getting kind of quiet. The principle doesn't end because we like to say, hey, we don't need Hollywood programming our young people. We don't want our marriages to end up like The Young and the Restless, like the soap operas. Hey, man, we preach against it for purposes. But the principle does not end saying, well, just, man, you don't need a television in your house, which you don't. Amen. But you know what? You need to get some discretion when you pick up your phone, too. And when you go on Facebook. And when you get on the www. Oh, the World Wide Web. Well, I got to have the World Wide Web. I know you do. I know you got to do your banking. I know you got to do your school. I'm not arguing about that. Amen. But I'm telling you, the principle still applies. If you're standing at Walmart in line and something walks up in front of you, the principle still applies. If you're sitting in the doctor's office and there's a magazine you probably don't need to pick up. Come on, the word is forever settled. I'm not going to put a wicked thing before mine eyes. If I can help it. Amen. But every principle has a purpose, though. Everybody say principles have purpose. So this is the purpose. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. So what's the purpose of not putting a wicked thing before your eyes? Because the word said if you do, you're going to become like it. If you wonder why our little boys want to be girls all of a sudden, they didn't decide that in a deer stand looking for an 8-point buck. They didn't do that in a fishing boat trying to catch a crappie. There was something wicked put before their eyes. Amen. And they decided. This is the purpose for the principle. Amen. If the wife watches soap operas all day, or if the man listens to There's a Tear in My Beer. What's going to happen? He's going to become like it. She's going to become like it. Well, you know what? My husband ain't no better than the one that old blonde got rid of. My husband doing the same thing that one is. I think I'll call another man while he's at work just like. Why do you not put stuff in front of you that's wicked? Because it's going to train you how to live. It programs you. You know what you need? I want the word to program me. I want the word of God to show me how to live. I want his word to order my footsteps. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. Amen. I got a solution for our world's problems. Just get in the word of God. If the word says it, just do it. Whether you like it or you don't like it, it'll be good for you. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm trying to take all the decision making out of your life. I'm trying to make life easy for you. Hallelujah. If the Bible's against it, don't you think it'd be smart? Praise God. Amen. It was 2007. Amen. There was a Pentecostal organization that voted it's okay to bring televisions into your house. Amen. I know we got a bunch of new people, and I know God, it's so beautiful, God making changes in all of your lives. Amen. But this started out a long time ago. Amen. When the old time preachers were preaching against allowing Hollywood to program people. Amen. Amen. It wasn't like it is right now. Amen. A sinner ought to be able to look at a programming today and think, my God, I don't want my kids to even be exposed to that garbage. You don't even need the Holy Ghost nowadays to look at a Hollywood programming. I can say it like this, public education programming. Amen. That's trying to turn children into something they shouldn't be. Without the consent of parents. Don't tell me there's not an agenda. There's an agenda from the beginning of their life. Don't let me get, well, praise God. They want to pump them full of things that take their childhood away from them. Well, that one's too hyper. Let's give him a pill. Let's give him medicine and try. Did you know boys are just hyper? Did you know boys throw rocks and throw sticks and climb trees and jump off of things? And that's why they got parents that say, hey, be careful. Huh? Amen. But the world wants to pump them full of garbage and change their thought processes. Then if they change their thinking, then they can tell them, you ain't got to listen to your parents. Hey, boy, if you want to be a girl, we won't even tell your parents. We'll just... We'll just get you some certain. I'm telling you, the devil hates innocence. If you don't know, he came into the garden. You know what they were? They were innocent. Hey, man, they were innocent. And the devil hates innocence so bad, he tries to manipulate. And he ain't got the power to do nothing. All he can do is try to manipulate. Did God really say that? What did God say about that tree? Well, God said if we eat a tree in the garden, we'll go down. Did he really? What is he doing? He's trying to put doubt about the word of God in those people. And when he did, they lost their innocence. Did you know the word of God will keep your innocence? Well, this is good preaching right here. If you follow the word of God, you won't have to experience the garbage that the world experiences. Amen. Well, hallelujah. God, your word is forever settled in heaven. And I'm just going to believe it. Praise God. Y'all going to help me for a little while? I want to get some things in your spirit today. Amen. That you won't doubt anymore. Praise God. It's pretty quiet in here. Amen. Put up, where are we at now? We in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Let's go to that. Praise God. We need something good anyway. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Praise God. Did you know that trials happen? Did you know that trouble come, famines come, pestilence come, problems come? Amen. And the world wants to try to give you a solution to end it all. Amen. They want to give you a solution to end your trial. They got a solution for homelessness, they say. Amen. But I've traveled all over and they ain't got a solution. They got a solution for the drug addict. And they got a solution for this. But it ain't getting no better. But the word of God is settled. There's something you do when trouble comes. Praise God. Well, I'm going to help you. You won't need near as much counseling when you get a hold of this. Hey, man, when trouble comes, the word is already established of what to do to end the trouble. Oh, I need an appointment every week. No, you need a Bible appointment. Amen. You need to get into it because it's already established. If God sends pestilence and destroys everything and you ain't got nothing and you're homeless and blah, blah, and trouble and famine, there's a solution. It's already happened before, and the answer's already written. This is an open book. Amen. You don't have to worry. He said, if my people. First of all, you got to be baptized in his name. Now, for them people out there, I don't know what to do with them. Amen. Until they get baptized in Jesus' name, get full of the Holy Ghost, there ain't much help until they obey the gospel. But he said, but my people, which are called by my name, shall. You got to humble yourself. This is how my daddy used to sit in church. He'd go, you know, before he got the Holy Ghost. He was a Golden Globe boxer, and he was like 5'7". He had arms about that big around. He'd go, showing the preacher his biceps. Amen. And I thought, he wasn't very smart. He was smart, but he wasn't smart. You ain't gonna get me. But you know the word is like a hammer. Amen. The one that says, it just tickles me. Because I know I saw my daddy do the same thing. Amen. My daddy was sitting there all tough. He didn't like preachers. He hated preachers because one of them did him wrong one time. Of course they do wrong. They're men. Amen. You can't hate the plan of God because somebody messed up. Saints mess up all the time. Musicians mess up all the time. Drummers mess up all the time. I know a church, it's crazy. They crazy for real, but they don't even have drums anymore. They said the drums are devil possessed. It ain't the drum, my friend. It's that the drummer wasn't praying and he wasn't in the word. Well, so my daddy, he's all bowed up, you know, like, I was just like this. And one day, the preacher said, "Oh, Brother Johnny Motes, why don't you stand up and testify?" All of us kids are like, "What? What on earth?" Brother Holmes is messed up. Amen. But you know what? He knew how to take the venom out of people. You know what? You got to learn how to de-escalate some things. Welcome. Praise God. We're having church growth. Amen. Church growth at 1152. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to learn how to de-escalate. See, you were born knowing how to escalate. You were born knowing how to... But you got to learn how to de-escalate. Don't clap if you don't mean it. Praise God. Okay. Hallelujah. So he said, "Johnny Motes, testify." We was all scared. I was thinking he's about to stand up and say, "Yeah, y'all don't need a preacher. They're all whatever. They're just out for whatever." And so, but I didn't realize it took like the poison out of him. And he goes from showing his biceps to standing up and going, "The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." I'll never forget. I was just a young boy. I'll never forget the words my daddy said because I was terrified. You know, it wasn't very long after that. A Sunday evening on the left-hand side where the men's prayer room was, I noticed the men were gathered around somebody, and I walked in there to see who it was, and it was my daddy with his hands lifted up, and he was crying, and he was speaking in tongues, and now today he's in heaven because he humbled himself. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you humble yourself, and... you got to humble yourself, but then you got to, come on, this is settled. We're not going to find another way. You got to humble yourself, and then you got to open your mouth. Well, I'm going to wait till the famine's over, then I'm going to come out and pray. I heard even preachers saying when COVID was here, well, there's a scripture in Isaiah somewhere, just hide in your house till it passes over. Well, I got a bunch of more scriptures that said when pestilence comes, humble yourself and start praying. Hey, if you don't pray, it ain't going to work. If you're not willing to pray about your problems, you'll always have the same problems. But if you're willing to take your flesh by the nape of the neck, this is how I was taught. You got to take your flesh by the nape of the neck. I'm too tired. Well, I ain't got the gas money. It's amazing. People ain't got gas money. Got gas money to do everything else. That always blows my mind. They can go out and chase waterfalls. And go to McCain Mall. Hey, man, go try everything. But they ain't got gas money to go pray. I'm thinking you'll never have gas money. Hey, amen. Because you ain't got it figured out yet. This is already settled. I'm just emphasizing what the word said. If it's trouble, humble yourself and then pray. And then, instead of seeking the face of all the influencers on Instagram, I hope somebody shows us how to make meatloaf today. Amen. I'm keep on scrolling until I find some meatloaf because I don't know what temperature to make it. Oh, man, I missed prayer because I was trying to figure out. What kind of bread to put on catfish? Amen. Because Brother Roy Martin won't tell me his recipe. Amen. I think that's wrong to have a recipe and not tell somebody. Amen. But it's my father-in-law, so I'm not preaching about him right now. Amen. I know other people like that too. Amen. Praise God. Hey, if I cooked, maybe that's why God never trusted me with a recipe. I'm going to tell everybody. That's why I'm going to stand here every time. I'm going to say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because I can't hide it. I want everybody to know it. Hallelujah. Well, what time is it? My Lord, I ain't even started. Amen. So, everybody say, if you humble yourself, and then you'll pray, and then you'll start trying to pursue God. Wake up thinking about God like, I want to see his face today. Amen. But it ain't just that. But then you got to turn. You know what turn? You know what repent means? It means to turn. Next door, they say repeat and be baptized. But the Bible said repent and be baptized. It's already settled. I'm just repeating. I'm not repeating, but I'm repeating what the word said. Amen. I don't believe in repeating. Amen. I'm giving you my story. And turn, repent. Can I say repent without y'all getting offended? Repent from their wicked ways. Amen. And when you humble yourself and you open your mouth and you start thinking, I want to know more about him. And then you start repenting. God said, then. You know what that means? It means then. It means then. It means not before. It means then I'm going to hear. You know what that means? God wasn't even listening to the. Before people were interested in repenting. God, give me a million. God, give me a raise. God, give me. God said, I'm going to start listening when you start repenting. Well, I feel like God ain't hearing my prayers. He might not be. He said, then will I hear from heaven. And when he hears it, he's going to start forgiving. And when he starts forgiving, he's going to start. I feel the Holy Ghost all over me. He said, then I'm going to heal their. You know what families need? They need healing. You know what the people at Walmart need? Their mind needs healing. Their spirit needs healing. Their bodies need healing. Their relationships need healing. Their finances need healing, and we got the answer. Hey, first of all, you got to humble yourself. And I got so much to preach. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's amazing that other churches will. You come, people come to them with problems, and they get this. They got this 12-step program that they created. I'm thinking that when you get to the 12th step, you're still gonna need God. I ain't got a problem with people helping people. I'm excited that people are helping people. Amen. I guess. Amen. Maybe not. Amen. Sister Seeley, we were talking not long ago about when I preached about the prodigal son. She said. One of the most important things in the story is that the Bible said, and no man gave to him. I'm glad people give people bologna sandwiches and stuff, but the poor in that Bible, it ain't the poor that you're seeing downtown. I don't want you to get mixed up. The poor in the Bible were maimed and crippled and all kind of problems and deranged and couldn't work. It ain't laziness. Amen. Crazy. I think sometimes we work against God. How can somebody turn to God if somebody's always giving them a bologna sandwich? Why do you need God to give you a bologna sandwich when the Jackson House will do it for you? And the Salvation Army gives you all the clothes you need. Where is repentance and all? I don't want to become a real. I know how they do. They just pull that little part and forget the context of what, just like some people study the Bible. Let me tell you the context. I believe in helping people, but I don't buy drugs. Amen. If God don't tell me to give somebody something, I ain't giving them nothing. Amen. I was at Atwoods one day and out in the parking lot, and a guy had a band on, a hospital band, and his eyes were all bloodshot and he was all messed up and blah, blah. And he praise God. He said, man, I need $5 to get me something to eat. So I didn't know if the hospital band was fake or what. I just kind of prayed under the breath and said, God, what do you want me to do with this guy? I felt God say, give him $5. I never do that. So I pulled $5 out and I told him, I said, hey, I'm a preacher and I don't buy drugs and I don't buy alcohol. And this is tithes that came from the house of God. And I'm giving it to you. And if you do something with it you ain't supposed to do, you're going to deal with God. He, I don't even know if he wanted that $5. He goes, man, I got so much to preach, but stand together with me. I can't. I got meatloaf at home. Praise God. Hallelujah. Kind of different when you got three services on Sunday. You kind of quit pretty close to time. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe I tried to start this sermon in November, and I didn't start it till March. Maybe I'll finish it in September. Man, but I want you to know that God's word is settled. And there are so many promises in this book nobody can take away from you. Brother Blake, they're yours. I feel Jesus in this place. Brother Clyde, all these promises, they're yours for the taking. Nobody can take them away from you. Hallelujah. It's settled. I want to put you at ease. This church is going to stay the same. As long as I'm alive. I got a feeling it may be the same after I ain't alive. Praise God. Did you know that what this church stands for, the Word of God and the separation, 50 years ago was just the norm? Did you know 100 years ago when somebody was walking, I guess they didn't walk in Walmart, maybe they walked in the Five and Dime downtown on the square, you didn't know if a woman was a Methodist or Pentecostal or a bad, people were just holiness people. The Bible said it's abomination for a woman to wear that pertaineth to a man, and for a man to put on a woman's garments. Do you think it'd be smart to vote something in that would make the church more modern and more palatable to the flesh? You know what I say? I say no. I don't want to pastor 10,000 people and none of them make it through the gate. When you start looking around and you think, well, everybody else, can I take you to some scriptures that says, broad is the way that lead to heaven? I mean, what the Bible said, said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be therein. That means it's going to look like the streets of New York. Packed. People going the wrong direction. But people look at a straight and narrow and they think, well, surely they got to be right. Look how many people are going that way. You know what I say? Brother Jack, you know what I say? It's forever settled. Hey, if they vote in ornamentation, let them vote it in. We're not voting. I gave my vote the day I went to the altar. Did you not vote? The day you got the Holy Ghost, did you vote? Yes, you voted. You said, Lord, whatever you want, that's what I want. You voted when you said, Jesus, whatever you tell me to do, I'll do it. You got the choice. Hallelujah. Lord, I got to quit. This is the 92nd warning. In 2007, you can YouTube it. There was a man stood up from a large Pentecostal organization. And he said, blah, 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 said a bunch of stuff. And then he said, and this is why I am for television. Well, what happened was there was a lot of people that wasn't for it. And it ain't the box. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. It's the programming. And a lot of people said, we're not going to go down that road. And they went, they had a big church split. But if you will look at the ones that voted, yes, we're going to change what that book said and we're going to allow it in. That was 2007. This is 2025. You know how many years that is? 18. That means there's a whole generation of young people who grew up sitting on Pentecostal pews, watching all kind of filthy movies. And they're sitting in dead churches today. Amen. And I've seen them come to this church. Amen. And when the Spirit of God begins to move, they're fearful. And they don't even know what a move of God looks like. Now you tell me it pays to vote against what that book says. And I tell you, I want to preserve my children. I want to preserve the next generation. I want to preserve the church of the living God. I'm done. Hallelujah. That's why we don't have conventions. Praise the Lord. I'm done. I promise. Can y'all come pray with me for 30 seconds? 30 minutes, whatever you want. I don't care. Praise God. Come on, I want you to quit looking around at other people. And I want you to get your face in this book again. God, we got to do what your word says. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, it's going to mean everything. God, give me a love for the word like I've never had. God, give me a commitment to your word like I've never had in my life. In the name of Jesus Christ. God, show me scriptures. Give me understanding, God. Ooh, God, if there's any rebellious spirit in me, take it out. God, I submit to your word. Hallelujah, I submit to the authority of your word. God, change me. God, mold me. God, turn me into what you want me to be. God, don't let me manipulate people into backing up. God, let me lead my household like I need to. God, let me lead my children like I need to. God, let me be the example I need to be for them. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, prayer warriors, cry out to God right now. Ooh, pray until the Spirit comes upon you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let God do it right now. Let God ramaha. Yadaba. Yeah. Come on, by the authority in the name of Jesus. Come on, God. Come on, God, put that word in me. Come on, just a few minutes. Come on, get honest with God right now. God, change me. God, change me. Oh, don't ever let me get off track, God. Don't ever let me get confused. Come on, don't let me vote with my flesh, God. Oh, don't let me vote with my desire. Oh, come on, in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name of Jesus.